Dibbity Dale.
Dibbity Dale.
Dimsdale.
End with abortion, open with Dimsdale. That's the X-Strike Studios triple radio podcast.
That's right.
That's how we roll.
That's how we bring it.
Did we bring it already?
It's
Are we
brought.
Bringing it?
It's brought. It's we've brought. Been bringing it for 17 seconds and counting.
Oh. 18, 19, it done got brunk.
Oh. Yeah, it's brunk. It'll be different for you guys listening the time because the intro music will go do its diddly-doo and then mm-hmm. we'll...
Yes.
Yeah, we don't actually listen to the song every week
no.
and start talking
it. Doesn't
it.
Play us in. This is Tim here. It's Rory there.
Yep.
Weiss there.
Squeak.
And Dave over the internet.
Besmirched.
Besmirched.
He is besmirched.
Besmirched. How is everybody doing?
I just did some besmirching myself. I got an unsolicited offer of credit from a mortgage like refinancing place, and it's one of those letters where they're like they don't want you to know who this comes from. They want to make it look like very plain and official, like it's coming from the government, like you are required to call them back and let them sell you,
or like it's a government program.
Yeah,
bailout, if you will.
Yeah, of course it's not. It's just a lending. It's a lending company. So I called them and I spoke to Kirk and I said, Kirk, I just received this notice and it said to call as immediately after receiving my notice. I just wanted to know how many people would you say you scam with that line, like per month, that whole call us back immediately by this such and such a date. And then Kirk sensed I was fucking with him and said, sir, are you very busy right now, sir? And I said, Kirk,
how busy could I possibly be if I'm calling you?
Kirk, do you suppose this is why we're in a goddamn mortgage crisis right now, Kirk? And then he very angrily said, you have a great day, sir, and hung up.
So what you're saying is you're a dick.
I wouldn't say I felt bad, but I definitely felt a little like...
You went out of your way to do this.
I didn't
call you. You called them.
It was needlessly confrontational on my part.
I think it was needed.
Boy, these long single dad days with Julia Page are clearly wearing on your brain.
You get bored.
Dave makes his own fun, and in this case,
this child only makes so much progress on a day-to-day basis now. It's a real grind.
Dave, you're just trying to teach Julia Page how to deal with annoying people early on, aren't you?
No, she cannot be bothered to pay attention to anything I teach her. I try. Believe me. But she does not. She doesn't want to become a good consumer.
Maybe if you stream your abuse through an iPad.
Maybe. Yeah. Then she'll pay attention. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Parenting.
It's what it is, man.
Anyway. Video games?
Yeah, video games, I guess.
I've heard of those.
Hey, yeah. Who played some? Any?
I played some.
A few. Yeah,
none.
Dave.
I got one.
You got back on your game horse?
Oh, my God. Well, with all the talk about BioShock Infinite, like, it was eaten away
all
at
all of the
so
talk about BioShock Infinite. I've read so many articles about BioShock Infinite.
I have been trying to avoid any discussion of it so hard.
Good luck.
I know. So
Yeah, most are labeled, I suppose, but
everyone is labeled.
Everyone's being very courteous, but I'm afraid.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's easy. You just don't click on any article that says BioShock Infinite,
right?
Yeah. Even listening to the Giant Bombcast, you know, they're doing their best tiptoeing around stuff, but it's only a matter of time until one of those dudes says something. So anyway, I was just anxious to get my Ken Levine on, I guess. So I popped in the original BioShock. It was my my New Year's Eve resolution this year, and I'm glad to say I'm already making good on it. This might be a gross oversimplification and the kind of thing that like serious PC gamers might just laugh at me at, but the first big impression I get from that game is, wow, this reminds me of Half-Life.
That's fair.
I'm not sure what came out first though, Half-Life or System
Half-Life.
Shock 2.
Oh,
it was Half-Life?
Yes, Half-Life.
Okay, because like even the sound that you make when you push the A button against something that you cannot interact with, that little like machine shorting out that yeah, that sounds just like Half-Life. So I'm not sure, you know, it's my own ignorance, not knowing from whence the inspiration, in what direction that inspiration goes.
But System Shock 1 preceded Half-Life.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if they used that sound effect in those, in the System Shocks either. So, but that's a gorgeous game. It's very fun. I'm having a great time. I like everything about it. Obviously, it's BioShock. I'm really impressed at how it looks. Like, even up close, some of those textures, like the light sourcing on them, looks real nice. And I love, and I wouldn't know this unless I had gone to Eurogamer and gone to the Digital Foundry. What do they call it? The place where they do all the detailed comparisons. And they mentioned there that BioShock Infinite lacks this feature on consoles that was in the earlier games, a feature to disable VSync. And what that does is unlocks the frame rate. When you, with VSync enabled, frame rate gets locked at 30 frames per second. But you disable that, and the frame rate shoots up to a pretty unsteady 60. Mm. But it's definitely a lot smoother. Hmm. There is noticeable screen tearing when you do that. Of course, that's what VSync is meant to fix. But I think it looks a lot better
with that
disabled. It looks brilliant, and I wish more console games offer. You know, that's the only option I need. Give me the option to increase the frame rate, even if it makes other things unstable, and I'll decide if I can deal with that. If that's just one simple toggle switch that they can throw me in the option screen, I'd appreciate that. That was back in 2007, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, BioShock, cool beans.
Yeah. I've heard that game is pretty good.
Yeah. The game's all right.
In fact, I've been hesitant. Something that just occurred to me, a big reason I've been avoiding going back and replaying some last-gen classics I've been wanting to dig into, like Metroid Prime, Knights of the Old Republic, is because those games look like garbage on my TV. Even when they are in, you know, even when the ones that run in 480p just have this terrible shimmer to them in motion. And I had forgotten that my TV has one of those features where it like artificially doubles the frame rates.
Oh, you've got a true motion.
I have a true motion kind of feature. So
can you turn it off though?
Oh yeah. Oh, of course.
Okay.
I have not enabled it since fucking around with the settings when I bought the TV several years ago. So, yeah, no, thank God I can disable it. But I'm thinking about enabling it on some old games and seeing if that helps things look smoother. I mean, it's nothing you'd want on a film, you know, on it's nothing you'd want to apply on real people. But in a video game, that might actually look pretty cool, especially one whose frame rate is hobbled by the tech of the time or, you know, trying to play a lower resolution thing on a current TV. I don't know. It never really occurred to me to play with my TV settings to make standard def stuff look better. But I think it's about time I did.
Yeah, that's neat. That's Rhythm the one Heaven good use great. For True Motion.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been playing Rhythm Heaven with Jan. She loved the first two, like, columns or so, and then it got too hard for her.
Oh.
And of course, that game looks great because I assume that's Intelligent Systems. They don't put that right on the face of it, but I'm pretty sure it was the Intelligent Systems guys that did most of the WarioWare stuff.
Yes, it is them.
Okay, yeah, and they've got that great thick outline cartoony look that just, you know, really works well on the Wii, so that's awesome. That's the video games I played.
Yeah.
Nice. Word.
The only thing I'm going to talk about is that I finished The Citadel.
Yes.
So yeah, I had played the mission that they give you, and I had spent some time in the arena. So the all that was left was to, well, explore the, because they give you kind of like a Las Vegas strip with like a, there's the arena, there's a casino, there's an arcade with some mini games in it. And as you know, you explore that, you will run into some crew people that you can kind of hang out with for a little bit. But the main thing you have to do is pick up your party supplies so you can have your party. And yeah, so you have your party and you get to choose who you want to invite, which I don't know why the hell you wouldn't invite everyone. That seems like it's the most fun scenario.
I'd just invite Ashley. I just, that would be my first thought.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, let's see what she does.
No, I had to invite every. Well, I chose to invite everyone. I didn't want to leave somebody out and have some awkward moments later that won't happen later because I'm not playing any more Mass Effect 3 with that particular Shepard. Anyways, yeah, the party is basically you get to spend an hour hanging out with everybody from the series, and that's pretty great. And watching them interact with one another, like, you know, everybody shows up and they start hanging out, and basically once you kind of expend conversations with everybody, you can go up to Glyph, which is that little thing that hangs out with Liara.
Oh, right.
He's your party organizer, and you can instruct him whether you want him to what you want him to do with the music, either to increase the energy of the party or keep it on the down low.
Boy, I wish I would have gone into this DLC with what I thought it was until you started playing it, which was serious.
Yeah, it's not serious. No, yeah, and in, you know, once you talk to him, like, everyone kind of resets to different places in the apartment, you know, different groups and different conversations. So it's a lot of just sitting around and, like, listening to characters talk to one another. And yeah, I guess I won't go into species because it's a lot more fun just to see it all happen.
Yeah.
But it was totally worth it, and it's hilarious. It is just fucking hilarious. But the thing is, like, you know, depending on this won't unlock until you're about 2/3 of the way through Mass Effect 3. So you guys can kind of, you know, pace out where about that is in that story. But you know, if depending on what characters are there, like who your romantic option is. I don't know if it brings in Zaid and Kasumi if you don't have the DLC from Mass Effect 2. I think that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
If you had actually never met them and they show up at your party. So, assumedly, they won't.
Hey, I heard there was a party.
Settle down, Kasumi.
Yeah. Hey, Kasumi could just sneak in, but I could...
Right.
I just have to think there's a lot of variation to the conversations and what goes on, depending on whether you bump up the music, keep the music down, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another scene with the morning after, which is also really funny. And then, it's sad because it's over. And, yeah, I'm not going back to that Shepard now. That was it. That was his last hurrah, but a totally worthy hurrah to have.
Yeah, I get to hear more Jennifer Hale. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And right when I was getting towards the end of the DLC, very suddenly a spike of blue pixels appeared on my screen. And I'm just like, "Oh, what the and as soon as it popped up, I'm like, is that just the Xbox input? And I'm like, no, it's just my TV being broke.
Nice.
Boo. That sucks because that really bugs me. And it's not always super apparent.
But when it is.
Well, it was because, you know... Lauren was watching stuff on Friday. She's like, "Oh, I can barely tell." And I was playing some stuff on Friday, and I'm like, "Oh, you know, I had started Guacamelee, and I could barely tell." I'm like, "Okay, well, maybe it's, you know, just kind of dying down or fading." But then it just kind of depends on how much color, I guess, is on the screen or what color is on the screen. Where it's like, you know, I'm watching. It's right. Just inside of where something that's 4x3, like the edges of it is. So, you know, I'm watching Star Trek The Next Generation on Saturday, and just this big blue line in the middle of space or in the background because, you know, it's very flat backgrounds in that show. I'm just like, fucking shit.
But so are you saying you're going to try to live with it? Or are you shopping around for a thing?
I was looking at TVs the whole weekend, like trying to figure out what I'm gonna get. I mean, on the upside, man, TVs are way cheaper than they were when I bought that TV.
I know, right?
Fucking A.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
yeah,
yeah. No, seriously. Like, I didn't want to get another LG. Not that I disliked this TV up to the moment when it betrayed me, but I was just like, it betrayed me. So I have to get a different brand. It just, it wouldn't be right. But there was basically the same TV, except it was, you know, $300 or $400 less than what I had paid.
Oh yeah.
You know, yep. 5 years ago when I got this TV. It's like, yeah, totally. Yeah. Though there is still a pretty big jump between a decent like 37-40 inch TV and a decent 50 inch TV.
Oh yeah.
Like if you want a good 50 inch TV, you're pretty much looking at a grand still.
Mm-hmm. Are you, what size range are you?
I'm looking around the 40 inch range. Yeah. My old one is a 37, so I was thinking a little bit bigger.
Okay. Yeah, I have a 47 that I bought for $800 at the not that long ago, and like it very, very quickly, a comparable model was like half that price.
Yeah.
It's just it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mine's a cheapo. Mine's a Vizio, and I love it. It's been terrific for me. I love the image quality, although I do hear the giant bomb guys recently saying plasma is the way to go.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, to get a good plasma, I was looking at plasmas, and I think you have to get a more expensive one to really make it worthwhile. Like because I you know, they just had that conversation, and I went to the website, the wire cutter they talked about, and there was this one TV that was recommended, which was a plasma, which was a like 43 inch. It's $400. I'm like, that is a great deal, and I'm looking at it, you know, in the store because I live, you know, 5 minutes away from the damn mall, and
it just didn't like how it looked.
It didn't. The blacks weren't as black and the whites weren't as white as any of the TVs around it.
Wow.
And also the a plasma screen generally has a much glossier screen. Yeah, yeah. So I it was like a mirror looking into it, and I'm like, this is going to be a disaster in my living room, which is very well lit.
Faces your TV, faces your windows.
Yeah, but it just in general, my house is extremely well lit. And in that same article, it was if your living room is has a lot of sunlight that comes in and you're a gamer, like
gloss is not something you ever want on a viewing surface.
Yeah,
like it's.
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is. By the way, though, the wire cutter, what a great website.
It is a great website, yep.
I had never heard of it before I heard them talking about it, and I'm so glad I discovered it. I love the way they write. I love that it's in plain English, and I love the authority with which they say, look, this is just the best thing. I know what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. Don't bother. I've looked at all the reviews. I'm a professional reviewer myself. I've aggregated what everyone else says, and this is the thing you want. You can stop worrying now.
Yeah. Just a very straightforward recommendation site.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Best big HDTV.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. So probably won't be getting a plasma because I don't want to spend $1,000 to get a plasma.
Yeah. I saw there was a company that's trying to make an affordable 4K TV, like, because those are usually like $5,000, $6,000. This was, they were aiming for $1,300.
Oh, that's not bad.
Was there? Yeah, it was crazy. But for them to actually do that, I don't trust it at all.
Who would?
So that's kind of the flip side of this. But if they start getting to be affordable, that's another sad step away from theaters for a lot of people, but also awesome for home entertainment.
Yeah. Hmm. Speaking of theaters, I guess I'll just inject it here.
I just say this real quick. I like how it's not just like the best of the best. It's the best in like the range of here's the best possible one. Here's the best mid-size one. Here's the best small one. These are all the best deals.
Yep.
That's very nice of them.
Yep.
Because anybody can tell me what the best of something is. Yeah. Like, overall, but doesn't mean it's affordable.
Mm-hmm. Friend of mine wanted some advice shopping for a new laptop, and she told me about some of the things she was looking for, and she said, but I don't want a Mac. I'm not into that. And so I go there and I'm like, well, the best, and they're like, this is the best thing you can get is a MacBook Air. But then like, okay, but if you need a Windows machine, this is what we recommend. You know,
it seems like it's taking a step out of my CNET searches.
Yeah, basically, because it takes those into account.
All right.
Anyway, my ruined segue.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fuck it.
My spontaneous trip to go look at TVs led me to a spontaneous trip to see Jurassic Park 3D on Sunday night.
Awesome.
Might be going Sunday for
jealous.
Me.
Which is a fine, fine theater experience to have again. It's just like, you know, that movie wasn't shot for 3D. It looks good in 3D. There's some really cool shots in it. A lot of kids in the theater because dinosaurs.
Because it's Jurassic Park.
Yeah, because it's Jurassic Park. They were well behaved. The kid in front of me, it was his first theater experience, and I was like, ooh, man, that's what a wonderful gem to have in the year 2013 to be able to see Jurassic Park for the first time. But the Pacific Rim trailer in theaters is a very compelling argument for theaters directly because it. You guys seen the one where it pulls the image down to a tiny TV?
I've
like in the middle of the trailer, it shrinks the image down to like an HD TV and it says like something like, you know, blah, blah, blah. You need to see this in theaters.
Oh,
blows it back up. Yeah,
that wasn't.
Well, they do them sometimes with like actual trailers.
Oh, I didn't know. I've seen those commercials.
There's the one that's like the movie experience and you're in a theater and we're selling you on the movie experience.
Yeah,
I thought that
was
really
redundant.
I still like those ads being there.
Yeah, no, I was like, it was compelling.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, not that I wasn't already sold on seeing Pacific Rim in theaters, but yeah.
Like, I watched the digital versus film comparison documentary side by side. That was a very biased documentary from Keanu Reeves, but it was still very interesting. But God, when I see people watching a movie on a phone, even in a movie, I'm just like gritting my teeth, like so mad. It's like, it's great. People can access movies anywhere. It's not. You're not watching the movie.
I mean, watch TV on your phone or something.
even that
some
at this
TV
stage.
Show.
Yeah, some TV. But God. Short stuff.
I don't watch anything on my damn phone. What am I saying?
I've popped on like a sitcom if I'm stuck at work and I feel like it, but...
Yeah,
really.
Oh, I rewatched The Master, rented it so that Jan could see it, and she really enjoyed it, and I liked it even better the second time around.
Neat.
Yeah, I
need to go. Did you blew that up?
No, it was only available on DVD, but even then, still looked well done.
Yeah, I want to see that blue transfer. It's supposed to be really nice.
All right, Reese, what'd you play?
I finished off Virtue's Last Reward.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep. Yeah, 40 plus hours into that.
Oh, God.
it was satisfying for me. I mean, like, there's in the middle, especially, like, I guess last podcast was where it was kind of the driest, but I was right before things started to split off again and get more interesting. Yeah, because it should have been a shorter game. There's 40 hours is pretty long for a visual novel.
It's like 999 was like 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like 40 is a lot.
Yeah. But I did like where it went, and I totally cheated to get the other... because there's every puzzle has...
There's rewards, extra rewards if you can.
Well, stuff to read and the real ending, which I didn't even realize at the time. But I had most of them. I was missing like four or five. But I'm just like, you know what? I'm not gonna. I put 40 hours into this game. Because it's just stuff to read, and I enjoy their detailed archive reading stuff, which comes off as very snarky a lot of the time too. Because it's fourth wall kind of stuff at that point. So I don't feel bad about looking that up at all. And that is one of four 3DS games I own at this point. Probably more this year. Finally starting to get into that system. Just downloaded a ton of demos to actually try out things. Hmm. And Guild 1 games going on sale, so I'll be getting those this week. Yeah.
Word. Rory, did you play anything?
No. Did you guys see the ridiculous Avatar-esque freaking blue Jamie Foxx Ultimates Electro?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to have so much visual effects on that. I couldn't judge that at all.
Well, my thing is like as silly as Electro looks.
It's the guy from Virtua Fighter 4.
As silly as Electro looks, like Ultimate's Electro doesn't look better, is my thing. Like, he looks like fucking Frieza.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just they're not winning, like, any like, attempts to gain ground from their bad choices with the lizard's design.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
It's not as nearly as bad as the lizard's.
They should have just went all out with the big fucking yellow face piece.
Right.
That, like, just make it go totally 70s with it.
I'm just, like, my biggest hope that this hoodie is, you know, just what he happens to be wearing on set.
No, that's...
Well,
okay. That's how I took it. I didn't even think that was part of the costume.
Well, it's pretty tattered and aged, so it looks like wardrobe.
I assumed it was a rainy day.
I don't think Jamie Foxx wears a lot of hoodies with like frayed cuffs and
Whenever I see early like set pictures, they're always in coats and hoodies and like rags. And
yeah, no, I took that into account, but like this is like particularly fucked up.
We'll see.
You'll see.
You'll see a trailer.
I'll see a trailer. Maybe it'll be great.
I'm just saying, it's doing nothing to give me hope for a movie I didn't have any hope for.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
like, Electro was never blue in comics ever. It's like Electric Superman.
Yeah.
Which was bad. Dave, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. Just checking. Tick, 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 tick. All right. Okay. There wasn't really any news I really wanted to talk about for this week. Which brings us to this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're gonna try something here. You know, we have occasionally done fairly regularly we've done top lists at the end of the show. And sometimes we've done big shows where, you know, we kind of count down our biggest, favoritest games, movies of all time. There's a favorite TV show podcast coming soon.
Yay.
Coming soon. Man.
You want to know something I'm having trouble with?
Is it trouble coming up with 10 shows or putting them in order?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Oh, it's 10. Oh.
Yeah. Like, my biggest problem with is that I'm like, trying to determine which version of me is judging. Because like with an entire life's worth of TV shows, I have very different priorities. So like pairing those out has been very tricky, especially like when I have to remember, gee, what have I watched in 30 years?
Yeah.
That's like movies kind of were a little more like I stuck with the ones that were good. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm like, there's a lot of stuff I watched as a kid that has fallen off my radar because I haven't had access to it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Right. Well, movies I could like watch back to back to back, or, you know, a bunch as a kid. So it would stick a little longer too. It's like TV is if you see it and it's gone, if it's not in syndication.
Yeah.
I keep having this nagging feeling that I'm forgetting something.
I haven't started my list yet. That's what this week is for. I'm
kind of picking at it. We'll see.
I made my list the very first time we threw this idea out after doing the top games podcast. Right. I'm like, so months ago I wrote a list down and it's pretty much my list.
Nice.
Still, like my just first impressions, bam. There have been a couple subtle tweaks here and I'm reconsidering things still, but like pretty much it just came out of my head. Bam.
All right. Well,
anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah, future.
That's the future.
So what we're going to try to do right now, we are going to try to do our...
I'm going to try to find my list.
We're going to try to do our top five NES games. Mm. Now, we're not doing our individual top fives. We are going to attempt to come to a consensus. The official Triple Radio top five NES games.
This ain't going to end well. Mm. There's already too much blood on the floor of this house.
We could have been... Yeah, seriously. We could have gone really softball and did like Super Nintendo, and then just it would have been Mario World, Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Final Fantasy III, and then an argument over what gets to be at number five.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Will it be Chrono Trigger, Castlevania IV, or Street Fighter II?
Right.
What will it be? Anyways.
So this will be interesting because I know we each have – there's so much random weird stuff on the NES, and it was at the point in our childhoods where anything could make an impression on us. So I'm
It's also hard to put myself in my 8-year-old body and be objective and not love the games that I have in front of me.
Right.
All right. So what's going to happen is we're going to go around. We're each going to nominate 5 games to be considered in the top 5 best NES games. They're not necessarily, I don't know. Criteria was open for nominations. It's just nominations.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
So fuck it. I'll just write my list again.
Sounds good. I'll come to you first. Last.
Well, it's done.
Castlevania 1, 2, 3.
You can't Silent Hill everything. No, that's what's fun about this one is I can't fall back to Silent Hill.
Yeah. All right. So I will go first because mine are already written down, and I will write everyone else's down as they go. Okay. I am nominating.
He is nominating.
I am nominating Contra.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am nominating River City Ransom. Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Shocker. I am nominating Mega Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
I am nominating The Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I am nominating The Guardian Legend.
Oh. All right, there's Tim's odd man out. There's
So I didn't even like think to put odd man out into this list because I thought we were keeping the consensus a little in mind. So I don't have any freak job ones.
Well, what was a freak job on here?
You know, the woman who turns into a ship. It's a freak.
Okay, that's only one.
No, I
had to have one.
I wanted a jokey. But
yes.
No, I'm fine.
Wrath of the Black Manta.
Yeah, that game's great. All right, Mario 3. Mega Man 2, of course. Right. Zelda, of course. All right.
Hang on,
I see you. Mirror, mirror.
Shit.
I'll say that in Mario. In my alternates, I had River City. But it did not quite.
Maybe I just didn't save this list.
Good job. All right.
I'm just kind of tapping on a pad.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. I'm putting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
I was wondering if that was going to come up.
Yeah. I'm putting Punch-Out. I'm putting Punch-Out, the only sports game that would make it in there. Because it's arguably a puzzle game over a sports game in a couple senses.
All right, weird. I was really expecting Double Dragon 2. So much so that I wrote it down.
Well, that would have been... favorite over best.
I know the game is quality flawed. Of Double Dragon 2 is that's what I forgot is fucking suspect.
Not if you're Weiss.
Yeah, I was gonna say the quality's fine. Just hard as shit.
Let's go with David Ottavino.
All right, Mega Man 2.
All right,
man.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yep.
River City Ransom.
Yep.
Punch Out, either version.
Yeah, I wasn't going to narrow a version.
And the original Final Fantasy.
Oh. All right, Rory.
All right. Well, I think we already figured one out because Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
What the fucking... What?
Is something Apple?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. All right. Mega Man 4.
All right. Whoa! There we go.
Yeah.
And then I started having trouble because apparently the Nintendo just wasn't my big passion system. Apparently, a lot of the games I played on Nintendo were shit, and I know it. So I put down Castlevania 3.
Yeah.
There it was. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because when I wrote down Castlevania, it corrected it to Castle Anima. And I'm like,
Sunsoft's Batman.
Ah, nice.
Which, although I think it's really hard to make an argument for that being one of the top 5 of the entire NES, I still think that game really fucking stands out for what it was. And Battletoads.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there ain't nothing like it since.
Did I see you thinking when we were talking about Double Dragon 2 and you're just like, something with weird jumping controls, Batman.
No, Battletoads actually was on my list. That was the one that I was like racking my brain right now trying to come up with. Because missing list, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I Batman is the one that I'm kind of like, it's not going to make it on the final list, but I feel like it should be represented.
Sure. Worth mentioning. Yeah. Worth mentioning.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, good. Yesterday, I replayed both that. Well, not the whole thing, but just booted up that and Return of the Joker real quick yesterday.
I still need to get/play that. That's been on
my list. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Return of the Joker is gorgeous. It's stunning to look at. It's. I think the original, in a lot of ways, is it controls tighter and is in some ways more fun to play. But God, Return of the Joker looks amazing.
The original is Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wall jumping.
Yeah, the original Batman. Yeah, the wall jumping, exactly.
Yeah.
That amazing speed run we watched. Remember that? Where the guy, because...
Yeah, he punches every enemy and just walks through him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because punching them gives him a frame of intangibility, so he just run through them.
Every enemy.
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
It's a great speed run. It takes like 16 minutes?
Yeah, it's
like
short.
It's a quick one.
So, where do we start here, gentlemen?
Yeah. Well, right. Well, what do we have the most of, I suppose?
Well,
the obvious ones.
Yeah, there's... that's the thing. There's five obvious ones, which is funny because we're doing a top five. But, okay, well, let me just put down...
Okay.
I'm just going to take the ones that got three votes apiece and put those down.
See ya.
No, that's only two games. That's only Super Mario.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's Super Mario 3 and Mega Man 2. So obviously, I think those two would probably have a place.
Can I just hear the arguments on Mega Man 2 for a minute? Like, why Mega Man 2? And I know why, but like the reason I chose 4 specifically is because I feel like 4 has everything good about 2 plus 4 more levels. Like, what was... Mm. Even better about 2. I like 2. This isn't a...
This isn't a big...
I think in the context of the 8-bit games, I think lack of... I think the chargeable Mega Buster and the slide move are extraneous.
Don't put down Mega Man 4. You build up Mega Man 2.
You are such a fucking racist against the slide. I don't even want to hear that.
God, I'm totally in Dave's boat here. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think the character...
No, I'm challenging him to argue back.
Yeah, I know.
Both enemy design and robot design for the robot masters in Mega Man 2, I think is better and more creative. I think the music is better in Mega Man 2. That's all.
Okay, so I just disagree with you on every point.
Yeah, no, I think the argument can be made both ways about a lot of sequels that, you know, is this thing an improvement on every way or is it merely derivative? I'm going with the derivative route. I can see how you would give it merit for the... You know, the notion that it has functionally everything Mega Man 2 does and more. I just think in many ways aesthetically Mega Man 2 is the tighter package.
And this is kind of why I selectively when I go to a Mega Man, I guess, because it's like, you know, I played the shit out of 2. That was the one that I basically played as a kid and you know, eventually got to Mega Man X at some point and everything else has been going back and it's like, this is fun. I've played this. Like, because it's so close of a game a lot of times, the Nintendo ones are close to Nintendo, Super Nintendo to Super Nintendo, that when I've, you know, and I think for me it's just which one I came to first, honestly, at that point too. I mean, aside from, I'm very partial to the music and the bosses and especially the Wily stages and Big Fucking Dragon.
Yeah, no, I cannot deny that Mega Man 2 is the one that I love. It's the one that I came to first, and it is the one that has my heart. But I think if I really try to be objective about it, it's that thing of that, you know, Mega Man 2 is more. Or I'm sorry, Mega Man 4 is more, but I think Mega Man 2 is all you need.
See the way I would change your sentence is when you say more after that I would put fun. No, I like two, but like what I do like about 4 is like I think generally speaking the levels are a little more unique in their own right in terms of like mechanics that you encounter in them whether it's like the sands in Pharaoh Man or the arguably irritating garbage in Dust Mans. I'm not going to say that yeah. one. I like those sections, but I think other people, you know, I'm not going to assume everyone else does because, you know, they take some time. But like, and like generally, I think the boss design is just a little more evolved. Like, better is not the right word, but like a lot of the concepts in 2 are still very like basic. And I think 4 is where they kind of like hit the height of their creativity without going totally off the rails in 5 and 6. Music, taste, you know, whatever.
They're both two awesome soundtracks.
Like, 2, I think I'm more biased against 2 because it's just
heard it so much.
Redundantly overplayed, which isn't really fair to the actual composition, but like. Like 4 has a lot of good music that doesn't get love, whereas, you know, and that I kind of blame on the community and their lack of, you know, willingness to spread around their interests sometimes, especially in the early VG music scene. But like, well, I'm not going to win this argument because it's 3-1. So I guess I have to accept that 2 is going on the list.
Hey, it's a good argument to have, though.
Yeah.
And like the, I don't know, generally speaking, like this was the first one that had like the, like, you know, the trick ending stage, like, you know, from the get go, you think it's Dr. Cossack, like even in Mega Man 3, like, you know, it's still Dr. Wily, even when he's when you're being totally derailed by the Doc Robot stages for no good reason. But like, you know, there was actually that, oh shit moment of like, whoa, it's not actually Dr. Wily, or it is actually Dr. Wily. I don't know. I thought that was fun. Shut up.
No, it's cool. It's fine.
I got to that too old.
Yeah,
I knew there wasn't a Santa.
Well, no, not at the time.
Yeah, when you go in thinking there might be a Santa, you're like, holy shit.
See, you know, I almost nominated the original Super Mario Brothers over Mario 3, if only because the first Super Mario Brothers does what it does so well, and Super Mario Brothers 3 is a big evolution of what that is, but that I think that concept is done better in other Mario games. And I think I could make a similar argument saying that I think Mega Man 2 does the 8-bit Mega Man thing perfectly, or at least it does it the way that I want it. And if I want other things in Mega Man, I usually go to Mega Man X for that. Did that make sense?
Yeah. I guess just like, and this, I guess this boils down to a matter of taste, although I think there's a lot of argument to be made mechanically. I think original Super Mario Brothers is like the worst 8-bit Mario. Like, I think everything that the other ones do are improvements.
I think Super Mario Brothers is kind of the worst Mario.
Well, no, Mario Land is pretty bad.
Yeah.
No, but I still like the first Mario. It's
me too.
Not totally as good as 2 and 3. No,
I won't play it unless I absolutely have to. Like, it's just not fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun for me, but it's my thing is I've run that game into the ground at this point too.
I think the control is balls. Like, especially given like how good the control gets by like Mario 2 and 3, and like the emphasis placed on it throughout the series, like beyond that into it being like such a, maybe that's evolution, but it wasn't like my favorite game growing up, and it certainly isn't now. Okay. And like, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, that was the game that got me on Nintendo too.
See, had I been playing it when it first came out, but we were again a little later to like we got to the NES at the end of its lifespan, so like that would have probably changed the way I felt about it then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Mario,
I was still playing it like at friends' houses. And Zelda was way more interesting.
See, all the Marios are are different enough from each other that I think that, you know, that's an easier argument to have, whereas the Mega Mans are so very subtly iterative by comparison in each installment that I'm sure you could ask 10 different people, you know, which Mega Man is like your line in the sand. at which Mega Man is your cutoff point at which you can say, after this one, I don't need any more Mega Man.
Right.
And you might get 10 different answers.
Just to get my 2 cents in on Mega Man. Yeah, I mean, these days I am more likely to put in Mega Man 4 to play than Mega Man 2, but that's because I played Mega Man 2 so much as a kid. In so many ways, even now, like looking back at the system, Mega Man 2 is just like one of the defining games for me. And just in, you know, that it made that impression on me before the other Mega Man games got to me. Just the that style of play, the the big colorful bosses, the theme stages, the awesome music, the non-linear or, you know, just a stage progression. It's just such a landmark game, and it's still super fun. And Mega Man 4 is definitely the second best NES Mega Man game.
Oh yeah, I won't argue that.
Yeah, yeah. No, we have established that Mega Man 4 is not a piece of poop.
Nope. It is. I like all of the first four.
Yeah,
I still like the first one. Like as clunky as it feels next to any other one.
Yeah, and I feel like that's comparative to Mario 1 for me as well. In that regard.
See, at that era, Mega Man was my favorite game. So like,
see, I didn't play, or I played the mashup of 1 and 2 on Game Boy. After 2, but before I got to original 1. So that's where my first thoughts on 1 came from. But
yeah. So well argued, Rory, but I think unfortunately I think we must outvote you. If there's one Mega Man, I feel bad, but make this list.
There's going to be a lot of... Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, and Mega Man 2 would be on the top five, but I don't think we're going to end up with two Mega Man games on the top five. So I have to take... All right, Mega Man 4 is a casualty.
Now, I would be tempted to consider Mega Man 2... Cool.
It's a vote thing.
Our...
Get it.
What's that?
It's cool. You know, majority rules, whatever.
Yeah.
I would be tempted to consider Mega Man 2 for the top spot.
Take this list out of the script that I'm working on.
We're not talking about ordering yet, Dave.
Okay.
We need five games. We have one.
Oh, did I lose Dave again?
Well, I'm just saying, can we also just agree now Mario 3 is in the top five as well?
Yeah, we did that.
That's it.
Okay. Oh, and I fucking somehow pasted in a fucking email into the middle of this document. What the hell? Thanks, iPad. Yep. I think I just deleted something, too.
This thing's great.
Yeah, where'd Batman go? God damn it.
Where is he? He just threw a smoke bomb and left the list.
Yeah, just took out Rory's choice.
Stop fucking me over.
All right. All right, Rory's gone. All right, let's take care of Rory's. Let's get rid of Rory's choices. All right, okay, so... We got Mario 3 and Mega Man 2 that are definitely going to land in the top five.
Yeah. And do we have another definite?
Those are the two that got three votes. There's a few that got two votes, but I'm just going to kind of leave those to fend for themselves in the other end of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anyone have any that they would gladly eliminate because they know that it's not going to be a contender, or... I can let Final Fantasy 1 go.
Yeah.
I know that I'm...
Any of the ones that, you know, only one person said, you know, by theory, probably aren't going to make it. But
well, it's because for my fifth choice in particular, I didn't pick something that I figured everyone else was going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so it, you know, by way of the nomination progress. Just
right,
because of
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, now let me ask that. How many votes did Castlevania 3 get? Because I was conscious of the fact that I did not pick it, but I can totally see its merits on
that
a list.
That only got one.
Right.
Yeah. So.
No, both River City and Castlevania 3 were my alternates sitting on the outside.
Yeah. Let me. So Dave, you want to kick Final Fantasy?
I can kick Final Fantasy, yeah.
I would do that just mainly because it's not the best version of Final Fantasy 1. It's you know, the one we got at the time, but
I would argue that it made the nomination because I think it's the best RPG on the system, and I think
sure, you haven't played Dragon Quest IV.
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think the aesthetic design of the first one, which obviously was, I mean, it didn't change in subsequent editions, but the way that sprite work looks against those black backdrops and the way the music is composed. I think that stuff works really well on the NES hardware. Like to the point where I don't think of the many times that game has been re-released and enhanced, I don't think there's necessarily a better version of that game.
Oh, they're totally
Dawn of Souls.
There's every other version is better.
I think the Game Boy Advance version is really good, but I love the aesthetics of the NES original.
I like mechanics that function properly. Say,
my headphones weren't on for a minute, but did I miss the part where we talk about how Final Fantasy 1 for the NES is broken as shit?
Right.
Like, seriously fucking busted.
Well, it's fighting against the player. Like, it's not telling you what spells are called. It's
like which
you buy potions one at a time.
Which, to be fair, though, and I actually guess I'm jumping into Dave's camp for this one for a second.
Sure.
reluctantly. which I think...
they all hate Mega Man 2 around this camp. Fuck
Mega Man
2,
Silent Hill 2 hating motherfucker. you're just adding shit to the list, Dave.
How do you feel on the Irish, Dave?
So let me take your side. But I guess that does add to kind of the NES allure in that, like, if you were one of the kids who, like, conquered this unforgivably buggy piece of shit. And don't get me wrong, I love Final Fantasy, but
Final Fantasy, the one...
Mm-hmm. When I think of Final Fantasy 1, I think of, well, that game was... there.
See, I didn't really like it once I got to it, which, definitely Dawn of Souls helped a shit ton. But, you know, I was a Dragon Warrior 1 kid, too, and it's a lot easier.
I won't say that.
I didn't have to grind my balls off at the beginning of Final Fantasy 1. Hold up, the beginning.
See, that is my only experience with Dragon Quest is... endless grinding, never getting anywhere. At least Final Fantasy 1.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, like Final Fantasy 1, I could at least get off the island that you start on. Like, right. Dragon Quest, it's like, oh, I'm going to go kill... because I could work out Dragon Quest mathematically to know that I have to beat X amount of slimes to advance, and it wasn't worth the time I was putting into it. Whereas Final Fantasy, I at least had already played 2, and I mean 4. My drive to continue Final Fantasy 4 was higher, Final Fantasy 1 was higher at that point. That being said, I did get through the first boss without figuring out how to properly equip weapons. So I was punching Garland.
I totally did that. Like,
I didn't get that far, but
the day I got that game, like, I played it for a while and I went downstairs and I'm just
that's the first thing you do is you go fight him. I mean,
and I'm like, Mom, I don't like this game. I just don't understand. And she's like, you've had this game for 2 hours. And you're like, it's because I was putting the weapons in their inventory.
But you weren't.
I wasn't equipping them.
That's exactly what
I
did.
And then I figured that out and, you know, eventually.
Once I did that, I jumped ahead and I went and I beat up some pirates and fought some elves and shit. But,
my experience was made easier by the fact that I think I played it with the NES Player's Guide for the game in hand.
That kid. No, but if I had, like, totally owned that game as a kid, I would feel very awesome about it. I think the problem that we all had with it was just the game refused to let us play.
Mm-hmm. Like, I still really like Dragon Warrior 1 for a lot of nostalgia, and there are a lot of good things it does, but I wouldn't hold it up as fantastic just because of how fucking grindy. And again, knowing how much you have to grind is almost worse because you can do the math in your head because you're sitting there and it's just kind of like you're plotting out your day.
Let's not get too hung up on a game that we're kicking to the curb.
At least Mystic Quest I could just pound through battles by hitting A really quick. Dragon Quest is even pace slow.
The thing. I voluntarily give that up because my other choice, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, is the one that I will gladly fight for its inclusion on a top 5 list.
All right, well, we'll see about that.
I definitely believe that is
put Punch-Out in there too.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we should eliminate it. I'm just saying don't give away spoilers, Dave. God fucking damn it.
How are we going to reach consensus at this point? Cuz we're all going to be after we've passed all the ones we agree on, we're all going to be arguing for hours.
Concessions. We'll see. We're big boys.
So is there anything else that anyone can lose off the bat?
Am I going to convince two other people that Guardian Legend should be in the top five?
I like Guardian Legend a lot, Tim. Yeah. I think that's a really cool game. I think it
should
plays
I eliminate
well,
it yet? Should we hold off on that?
I don't think it's one of the best five.
Any ones that we're obviously going to drop, I think we should just make our case for them and let them go.
Mm-hmm. Is that one we're obviously going to drop? Is that what you're saying?
Eulogize Guardian Legends, the Guardian Legend for us, Tim.
Oh, man. Guardian Legends is fucking awesome, and there still is nothing else like it, which is kind of what's awesome about the NES in general, and just that realm of wild and woolly experimentation.
Never played Sigma Star Saga on GBA. I own a copy, but I haven't played it yet. That's kind of like it.
Yeah.
Blaster Master is the only thing I sort of compare.
Genre mushing together,
right?
In this case, you're putting together a top-down scrolling shooting with really like background scroll really fast. They give you a really good sense of speed as you're tearing through these corridors. It combines that with overhead shooting and exploration, kind of Zelda-ish. As your jet transforms into an android or vice versa, and
your woman transforms into a jet.
Yes, your woman transforms into a jet. So, you know, the first stage is a shooter stage, as you fly into this space base and shoot your way inside, at which points you transform into your humanoid form and start exploring. It was a science station. It has kind of a quiet eeriness to it, not unlike Metroid. It has fucking great music.
I'd like to note that nobody said Metroid.
I was just going to say that, too. And
because the first Metroid's not fun.
No. That one, I have the harshest feelings of a first in a series, I think, towards.
I love the aesthetic of the original Metroid, but it is too obtuse a game design at this point and has effect. Zero Mission is one of the best reimaginings of a classic NES game ever. Like, it almost renders that game moot, so... Yeah, that's why the original Metroid is not appearing on this list.
I gotta go back to Zero Mission.
Yeah.
Frankly, there are better NES games than...
plenty of them. It was a landmark title, just not a great one.
I think it's safe to say I can probably let Batman go.
See ya, Batman.
Yeah, we've discussed... Yeah, Batman is an awesome game.
It is an awesome, awesome example of what happened on the NES when it was just like... There wasn't really much like, you know... I don't know. You didn't see as much like the big developers. You just had like, you know, smaller companies like Sunsoft might just release an awesome game and it might happen to be based on the movie, but it doesn't matter because it was released by people who just knew how to make good games.
I mean, the only company that I would like as a kid even think to look for was Capcom, like at that age.
Capcom and Konami I would keep an eye out for.
I didn't even know Konami till Super, I think. But
because of, because of Castlevania.
Right.
Castlevania, Gradius. Metal Gear.
Didn't play Metal Gear as a kid. Didn't play Gradius either.
Ultra released the Turtles games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Speaking of, Weiss, can I convince you that there are five better games than Turtles 2 arcade game?
It was going to come to that. It makes sense for all of us to drop one. I was going to see if anyone wanted to.
I would argue you to change it to three.
I fought with that in my head a bit, but thought two was more iconic, I guess. And
yeah, I'll give you that, I guess. I feel like two is what two felt like to me on the NES was an inferior version of a better arcade game, despite the two levels, which were like the best part of the game.
Yeah.
But like, whereas three being an original experience, like I think holds up better for itself. Whereas in my head, two is always failing to be the arcade experience, which at the time was like, that was a very big experience for me because it was like, oh, I'm playing it with, you know, I got my three friends and I'm at Putt-Putt, so I'm clearly having a good time.
Clearly.
Yeah, I love the idea of two and I love the memory of that game, but as a game, I don't know that it is.
It still has some of the most satisfying, like, just the soundscape and the feel of it. And that's why I think it would be on my five, but for this, definitely can drop.
My thing is just like, we have two beat 'em ups right now, and the other one is River City Ransom.
Right.
And
yeah, if this list is only going to have one beat 'em up, unfortunately, I think River City Ransom beats it. For me personally,
obviously, I didn't think that. But
Yeah, obviously.
But for this list,
hey, I've got a beat 'em up. Sort of.
You got Kabuki Quantum
Fighter. Oh, yeah.
Fighter.
Battletoads is on here.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we all dropped one. We could argue.
He dropped Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. All right. So about Battletoads. Now, do you see Battletoads making the list over River City Ransom, The Legend of Zelda, Punch-Out, Castlevania 3, and or Contra?
Well, definitely over River City Ransom.
You're just saying that to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Well, Dave gets to say things to hurt my feelings.
Take it out on Dave. Tell him punch out his shit.
Honestly, I think I'd take it over Contra personally, because I'm not a huge Contra guy. See, it's a punishing fucking game, and might be more than two levels.
Like, okay, let me make my case.
And I have a lot of fun with Battletoads.
Now, ironically, after coming down on Dave for Final Fantasy I being mechanically abhorrent, Battletoads is not a mechanically perfect game by any means. Mm-hmm. But what it does do, and what it did do at that era, was push the hell out of its graphic capabilities. It had a really good soundtrack, mm-hmm. which is not even worth mentioning on these mm-hmm. lists. It had cooperative or competitive two-player qualities.
They had very diverse levels.
Incredibly diverse levels, to the point of also having incredibly diverse level mechanics, mm-hmm. which both works in and against its favor at times. it's really hard. What have I got here?
It
inexplicably memorable.
It's inexplicably memorable and unique. There's never been a game quite like it, but since mm-hmm. then it has really like nailed its variety of gameplay, and doing what it did with what it had at the time, I think, was really kind of outstanding. And I don't know, it's kind of such a great example of like the development in the NES era, where it's just like, let's take this weird ass concept of, I don't know, right, it's kind of like Turtles. Let's rip off Turtles, you know. Yeah. Like,
and
you know, so you can have the like the weird character design and the mm-hmm. levels, but also, I don't know, it's
I mean, when we're comparing art, like, just feel comes into it, and Battletoads feels really cool and unique, and it's definitely like a world I like to go back to. And it took me forever for people to point out that the mechanics were broke. I'm just like, well, you have to know what you're doing in this game. You know that your shadow has to be close.
And it's funny how at the time my brain wrote off a lot of those mechanical issues as qualities of that planet.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like you're in the turbo tunnel and those jumps are just inexplicably weird. Well, there's weird gravity here.
Yeah. You know, it's just like they wanted to make
where
really
are you? Who the fuck knows?
I'm in the turbo tunnel. That's what happens in the turbo tunnel. The elevator shaft, you have to be careful because the gravity is a little heavier in there, too. Like,
right. Oh, those fucking snakes.
Let me ask you this. I know that, like, and in the strictest interpretation of this discussion, this probably should not enter into it, but is there a better version of that game?
No, because we're talking about NES games.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
there's
that
also not
specific game.
Is there a better version?
No,
the only
not.
Version
no.
of that game.
Yeah,
the Genesis version, the Super
there's
NES version, essentially
Battletoads,
a remake. There's...
But none of them are that game.
Okay.
Right? Like, yeah. the arcade game is a totally different game. Mm-hmm. The Super Nintendo one's a totally different game. I don't know what the Genesis one is.
Was there one on Genesis?
Was there some of them had double dragons?
I'm led to understand the Genesis version is a direct port of the NES game, but back then you never know.
Oh,
you
know? Okay.
I think there was a Game Gear one too, but
yeah, like I can't think of another game, especially from that era, that did such a good job of like taking so many different design ideas and putting them together. And a lot of that comes back to the vehicle stuff for me. But what it did was it gave every area such like a unique flavor. Mm-hmm. Like that game is just varied as hell. And like it's not as iconic as a lot of the other games we're talking about, but I think it did a lot more to like, I mean, we're talking about evolution and derivation mm-hmm. a lot. Like, I think it did quite a bit more to show people what they could be doing mm-hmm. In games in the future versus, you know, I mean, I can point at my own example. I like Castlevania 3, and I think it's a great mm-hmm. example of that series and does a lot of really cool things, but it's not doing an awful lot that hadn't already been established by the other games in that series. So, I mean, like, if I'm going to pick out of my own list, I would say, yes, I do think it's a better game than Castlevania 3, as much as I love that game, or at least is more significant mm-hmm. in terms of why it would be worth putting on a list of the top five.
I also loved guessing what gameplay I was going to be doing in the next level. And I'm just like, where the hell am I going? Okay, I'm going to have a snowball fight.
Oh, here's a Why giant not? Snake. I guess I'll just fucking grab it and see what happens.
Jump on.
Oh, look, a cute little fish. Oh, his face turns into a brick. Okay.
I'll tell you what. And again, this, Jan criticized me for thinking this way when I told her this. I did not nominate Castlevania 3 because I prefer the Famicom version. And when I go back to play it, in an emulator, I always play the Famicom version. And knowing, like, every time I boot up the NES version, knowing that there is a version with better music makes me just want to turn it off again.
I can't argue that when half of our arguments against Final Fantasy were there's better versions of it.
I know, but that said, if we are, you know, if we are discussing what are the five best games for the NES, I can easily see how Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse mm-hmm. makes that list. I don't say that by way of changing the subject to Castlevania 3. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. You know, that's a game I didn't nominate, but I totally see how I think that game should make the list.
I totally expected
I don't know that that'll make the list instead
of Guardian Legend. So I was sitting there sweating bullets. I'm like, my God, Rory, better fucking nominate Castlevania 3 or I would be so mad at myself.
Oh, if somehow no one did, I mean, I think, you know, it would be fair to go back and be like, well, let's put that on there.
Okay, then is it safe for all of us to say that we want Castlevania 3 on the list?
I think I do, yeah. Mm.
Okay, I mean, let's come back here. On the top five, Castlevania 3?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Tim, how many games do we have?
I was going to say, okay, we have six right now for three slots, and mm-hmm. I'm feeling kind of like Battletoads and, unfortunately, Contra are probably going to eat a dick against River City Ransom, The Legend of Zelda, Punch-Out, and
I nominated River City Ransom, but I can definitely see how Contra merits this list as well.
Oh God! You have to fight with me. I have to choose between my children.
I know. I mean, here's the other thing. I also did not nominate the original Legend of Zelda because I think that like the original Metroid and like the original Final Fantasy, I think that game suffers from a lot of really obtuse design decisions.
I think that game succeeds because of obtuse design decisions.
All right.
That's kind of where I'm at too.
That's perfectly fair, but I think that's a thing that you have to know going in and be a gamer and like have played a Legend of Zelda. I think that comes with a lot of caveats. I don't think it stands alone as a work of this is an excellent video game. I think in the context of other Zeldas, I think you can make that argument. But I'm saying standing alone, that idea has been so improved upon and refined in later installments.
See, I don't think it has.
I know. Again, I know it's a landmark title, and if you guys want,
anyways,
to keep the original Legends
stop
out on
jumping
the
from one game to the next with your constant efforts to keep us here all night.
No, I'm taking a different tack at this point. If we're having trouble eliminating games, I'm saying maybe we should see what are the rock solids.
Okay,
I'm saying maybe we should nail down what games have to be on this list.
I didn't think
now.
We were having trouble eliminating games, or was that just my games?
I let Final Fantasy go right off the bat. I was the first one. I offered it.
Everybody
up.
Had one.
I lost a turtle.
Okay.
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
I guess I'll erase Battletoads.
Are we feeling like getting rid of Battletoads? I really don't.
I feel like everybody else feels like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. I stand by Battletoads a lot, but I don't think it's better
it
than
made
the
top
other
10.
Games.
It's also
yeah.
really
it's
hard.
It's still in the conversation here.
At the end of the day, too, it's going to be hard to go up against the stuff with them. Well, whether they're good or not, like it's going to be hard to argue against the big icons like successfully, because there's a reason that many of them either stuck around or launched, you know, successful franchises off of them.
No, and the amount of hours I've put into games played a big factor on this list, and Battletoads would be fucking up there, so
it'll be on my list.
I'm reluctantly deleting Battletoads.
Yeah.
Can we just say it's sitting at sixth right now? Anyone?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you know, above Contra and Guardian Heroes.
It's certainly made it further than Guardian Legends.
So Tim, I'd like to write down the list so I can see the games in front. Could you read off what we have remaining?
Okay, locked in the top five, we have Mario 3 and Mega Man 2.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, the other five competing for three slots are River City Ransom, The Legend of Zelda, Punch-Out! Castlevania 3 and Contra.
All right, well, then I'm going to fight tooth and nail for Castlevania because I've lost all my other games, and everybody on here already said, oh, I was going to put that, but I figured someone else would.
Yeah. No,
I want to fight you so you lose your entire list.
I think I'm willing.
Yeah, no, it's...
I feel like I'm not going to succeed in arguing Contra into the top five.
I can't give you Contra if I can't have it.
Yeah, it's just like, what? I mean, I don't know.
See, I think Contra could make the top. If
all
I
right,
were
okay.
Cut,
all
see,
right. You know what? I want to start a fight. I'm going to start a fight.
Well, I was going to say, I would have put Guardian Legend above Contra for shooters.
Really?
And Guardian Legend is out.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
I'm not a big Contra guy.
I know you're not a big Contra guy. No, you're not.
I would put Contra above River City Ransom.
I would not.
From this list, I would cut River City and Zelda.
All right. Oh, well, hang on. I'm going to start a fight. Yeah. You know what I would cut?
Yeah.
I would cut Punch-Out.
Boo.
Okay. Here's why. <we're wrong. laughs>
I'm glad we got Rory with Punch-Out. Yeah, dude.
Punch-Out is nearly perfect.
I just don't think it's the best version of Punch-Out. I think Punch-Out has been done better on... it's my least favorite Punch-Out.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I like Super Punch-Out, and I like Wii Punch-Out more than old Punch-Out.
Wow.
I haven't gotten to play much of the Wii one. I haven't, honestly. I mean, I've dabbled with the Super one, but just that original was just one of those games to know, like, inside and out.
And is one of the best games on the NES.
Sure it is. I just don't think it's one of the top five best games on the NES.
Oh, but it plays so well. Mm-hmm. There is almost nothing that could be improved on this game by better hardware. It's such a great NES game. The music is wonderful. The graphics are incredible. It uses the only game that uses the MMC2 chip to have those great big sprites. The rhythmic gameplay is very it's very different from its predecessors, which are almost more action oriented. This is just straight up rhythm. It's a rhythm game. There is nothing else like it. It's amazing.
I love and. Like where one could argue where, you know, the line in the sand for where Mega Man went off the handle with characters, you could almost say that the subtlety of the characters in Punch-Out got less and less through the years.
Yeah.
As racist as it felt as a kid, I still enjoy like what I got out of the characters versus what I saw of Super Nintendo villains. As much as I enjoyed them, they're all villains. You have to fight them. Sure, why not? And back to feel of just like there's days where I itch to play a Punch-Out where I'm just kind of I need to feel something that's like this and pop it in.
I like Punch-Out. I just get bored. Like I can't sit. I get bored before I die or win.
Okay.
Like I kind of run out of steam about I don't know halfway through the third circuit somewhere around racist Indian guy.
Tiger Singh.
Yeah,
I was just gonna call him Raja Mahal because you know
why not
Indian.
Well, and that was one of those games where it felt great to discover like your own secrets, because there's so many weird, stupid things, like, you know, like his blinking hat, and just like, and just pop him in the face, and he looks so surprised.
Yeah, the King Hippo, the Piston Honda's eyebrows, the, mm-hmm. it is the tells in that game. God, it's just, it's such a uniquely refined, it's that wonderful Nintendo thing where when Nintendo makes a sports game, they're not really making a sports game, they're making an incredibly fun video game and, mm-hmm. and putting it in sports dressing. It's one of the earliest examples of that. Of this is, you know, they are putting gameplay first.
Mm-hmm. Like when we think of, and I wish there was a better term for arcadey sports game, because I guess that's what it usually boils down to when a sports game is fun.
Yeah.
but yeah, it would be probably one of my favorite, if not the best example thereof, too, for anything that followed up to Sega Soccer Slam, anything.
Sega Soccer Slam. All right, so where do we stand?
Yeah, that's
it's hard. Are you pro or anti Punch Out?
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't really have a strong opinion on the other games that we have on the table. Like, the NES was not my system.
Yeah,
like I don't really have like as strong of attachment to it as I did the Super Nintendo, and I don't have. I mean, I listed the games that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was because I left like Kabuki Quantum Fighter and Toki off the list. Like I just did not have like the AAA experience with that system at all. So it's hard for me to say if I had to pick between what are we looking at right now? Punch Out and Contra?
We have Contra, Castlevania 3, Punch Out, The Legend of Zelda, and River City Ransom. I was just saying I would get rid of Punch Out over those other four.
I wouldn't get rid of River City, even though I didn't play that till college. I wouldn't get rid of Castlevania 3 because it's mine.
those are the two that I would pick at this point.
What was Contra and
as much
get,
as I
to
love,
get rid of?
Yeah, it was Contra, not Punch Out, and what was was there a fifth one still?
Zelda. Did you Zelda. Say Zelda?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
I know. That's the thing. Is
I would actually say Zelda.
That you eliminate?
To eliminate.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would cut Zelda.
As much as I love Zelda, I don't know if I would put it over the others right now. I mean, again, I'd put it over Contra. That's me. But
yes. No, I'm not.
I know. I'm not even getting into that. I'm just trying to think of
like. Yeah, I'm just not passionate about Zelda 1.
My thing is just The Legend of Zelda still stands as a totally unique Zelda game.
Yeah.
Because when they eventually iterated on it again with A Link to the Past, they changed a lot of what Zelda was about. Mm-hmm. I read a rather interesting article about the guy wrote about how all the Zelda games suck except for Zelda 1, because which I don't agree with, but you know his idea is that you know when it came to A Link to the Past, all the non-linearity of the original Legend of Zelda was thrown out the window for you know a style of game that involves you know what we've come to be familiar with out of Zelda, which is going in a very direct path to find the item that opens the next way to get you wherever you need to go. He basically boiled it down to just, you know, a series of key finding missions, which is being overly reductive to say the least, but I
can see that point.
Yeah, and absolutely. Once you get to the point of I think especially the more recent entries in the series where you can't fucking go anywhere except exactly where they want you to at a given time until you get your hook shot or whatever. And then it's like, oh, I'll go back and do all this shit.
The flip side of that is someone who, say, for example, might not have long hours to sink into Zelda 1 is they're going to find it to be a very aimless, wandering experience with very little actual progression in the time they have with it.
Yes!
See, it's like, and I think we talked about that before, though, is like it feels it as a kid, but it really isn't the hugest grid, too.
No.
Usually you'll stumble on at least half the dungeons, like just walking around. Like, yes, by the time it gets to
burning that bush.
or remove the rock or et cetera, et cetera. But
some of us also didn't have the map that came with the game.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's totally fine. Like, I'm not saying that Zelda 1 isn't hard, but it encourages exploration in a way that no Zelda game has since, and very few games in general do, until you got more, you know, like just in that style. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. kind of Skyrim and that style of RPG hits it where it's just like, oh, here you go. Mm-hmm.
Tim, I think that's an excellent point. But I'm
glad you're willing to get rid of Punch-Out to agree with me, Dave.
I think that's an excellent point, Tim. But I think Zelda alone among the other games we have on this list does. I think it has the ambition it has. It is wonderful, but I don't. It does not meet that ambition. Zelda is the only game we have on this list right now that falls below. It's intended design ambitions.
This is hard because it's like it's trying to separate my. This is the tightest like separating nostalgia factor on a lot of that too.
I wish that there was another Zelda game that was that open ended as well. I just don't want one where unless I have a guide to tell me mm-hmm. exactly how to get through the Lost Woods and which bush to burn to
Dude,
find
it's
the stairwell.
Northwest, southwest.
Okay, but
see that they do tell you in the game.
Yeah. They tell you a lot of stuff in the game. It's just in broken English and not right. always in the best places. Grumble, grumble. All right.
What do you want?
That's there's the some dude who tells you to burn the bush later on. You just got to find him.
Oh yeah, there's only so many bushes.
Yeah,
those are awesome design.
It's
ambitions,
the dead end.
It doesn't achieve them,
and it is a dead end. It does achieve them. Fuck you. How does it not achieve them? What is not achieved? What goes unachieved in Zelda 1?
Oh, my sword shot stuff out. It was
beating
cool.
it.
The encouragement. That's the thing. Hmm? An open-ended world is great if it invites you to. I
Dave,
would
you're not going to win this pointing at someone who likes Dark Souls.
Are you not? Exactly. Yeah. How are you? It's just like that. That is the ambition of Zelda 1 is to go out and explore and discover.
And I'm saying the game punishes you more.
In what way?
In the way it communicates the information to you, what you have to find, the difficulty level. I don't think it achieves the design ambition it sets out to do. I think it's you know, maybe Dark Souls does that better. I don't know.
Dark Souls is not on this list, Dave.
I know.
So, how will we do this? Let the dogs decide.
trial
I'm
going to
say Zelda can stay if Contra goes.
Dave's the one who's been like hanging on to Contra. I've been like, okay, well, I'm not going to win that fucking argument.
No, I can let go of Contra.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think Contra does anything special. I think it's good, and I think mm-hmm. for people who find it fun, it's very fun. But I think if you want to look at what Zelda was doing at the time, it was reaching a lot farther for good or ill, depending on your opinion of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Contra's just like very straightforward. This is what this game is.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it well. It does it competently. But I don't think it does it better than the other games we're talking about do their thing.
Sure. Contra is very defining of run and gun shooters, arcade mm-hmm. shooters with, you know, awesome music, awesome aliens, very memorable sequence of button inputs and, you know, a very memorable cooperative experience. I mean, it would certainly be on my top five, but mm-hmm. I can see as a representation of this group where it probably would not.
I give you a top 10 on that one. That's fine.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Top 10. We'll let anything.
Yeah. Anything goes in there. That's such a fucking consolation.
Our top 10 has like 20 games.
Okay, so
all
we're
right, so
Contra.
That's off. Now we're down to River City, Zelda, Punch-Out, and Castlevania 3.
Oh, man.
Ooh. All we got to do is get rid of Punch-Out, and we're all good, man.
Get rid of Punch-Out.
All right, Punch-Out's gone.
See, I would make the same argument about River City Ransom, as much as I love it, that it does not quite live up to its design
what
ambitions.
What the fuck do you think these game design ambitions are? Like,
I argue that one.
Yeah. My God, you heathen. River City Ransom, again, like Zelda, is still a very much a one-of-a-kind mm-hmm. game. Even you know, as Scott Pilgrim went to integrate shops into its design, it doesn't have that that open world and the sheer amount of shopping that is involved, which is a very important part of River City Ransom, which is shopping and building your character.
Well, like, it was one of the most cartoony, like actually feeling like I was playing a cartoon at the time, games. And I mean, a lot of Nintendo games tried for that, but the really distinct, that Japanese word that starts with a T, their style.
Tato?
No.
No, Technos.
Yeah. Those Technos characters, that series in general.
I was just like, man, there's a game about the freaking dudes from soccer? From World Cup? I will say, this just struck my head, but it does kind of narrow down the list for me. Mm-hmm. And this isn't really a commentary on whether or not Punch-Out's a good or a bad game, but like, it's the only game of those ones that we're discussing that I kind of think is personally kind of boring. It never struck me, like, in terms of like I think it's a good solid game, but for me it doesn't, you know, light my fire. So that kind of makes the decision of what's left a lot simpler for me, because even if I don't love the first Zelda, I still think it's like, I still had fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Punch-Out was just kind of like, my friend would hand me the controller, you know, a half hour into the game so he could get a snack, and like, then I'd come back and he'd be like, why'd you die? I'm like, because I don't know how this game works, because I had skipped the learning curve and now I was fighting like fucking Soda Popinski. But yeah, it just kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know. If you're into what that game does, you get mm-hmm. a lot of it. If you're not, it's kind of a slog. That's my point.
Okay.
No, I am with you. Like, as much as I like Punch-Out, I just, mm-hmm. I got more fun out of later Punch-Outs that I think had more variety in their moves and the, you know, the characters you're going up against.
I would be willing to concede it for the rest of the games on the list, as much as I love Punch-Out.
Okay.
Dave, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave.
No, you know, because I think that's the same argument as why we eliminated Contra. Mm-hmm. Is that it does what it, Rory, what you said, it does what it does really, really well. But if that thing is not a thing that you want, then that is just not a game for you. And
yeah.
So yeah, I get that.
I think by that same token, if you look at all the other games we've talked about, most people are going to have a good time picking up and playing them regardless of their interests, minus Castlevania 3. But I think the other ones that you look at on this list are kind of a little more universally entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
kind of... Which is funny, because Punch-Out is such a simple, arcadey game. Mm-hmm.
Punch-Out's dead, Dave.
All right.
We are left with a top five. Finally!
Yeah.
We don't have an ordered top five, but we have five games. I think from here it might be downhill.
I don't think we're going to get anything, or I don't think the listener will get anything out of us arguing about what order to put those
the
games
granularity
in.
Of them. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But left in our top five, we have River City Ransom, The Legend of Zelda, Castlevania 3, which is really funny to me. Just like, so little has been said about Castlevania 3.
We just kind of snuck it in.
Obviously Castlevania 3 is great.
Like, you were the only one that nominated it.
Yeah.
Thank God you did.
Right?
We're all sitting in, snuck it in the back door,
and our number 6 just sitting there.
Super Mario Brothers 3 and Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
Does Mario 3 top this list?
I think considering that was a unanimous... that's pretty safe to say.
I didn't nominate it, but...
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I thought we all did.
But I generally acknowledge the fact that Mario 3 is...
I like Mario 3 a lot.
Yeah. It's not my favorite game. You know, we've been over this. I prefer World. But still, like... We'll give it its due in a second here.
Sure.
All right. So, 2 through 5. I'm willing to put Zelda at 5 because that seems like it... Made it on with with argument, severe argument,
and I don't think for the same reasons I was arguing against other things. I think Castlevania is inaccessible enough to be worth 4.
Legend,
yeah.
See, I was willing to concede a few places on Mega Man 2 just because we argued it how we argued it with you earlier.
Yeah, but I feel like like my argument wasn't against that game. It was like it was for another game, and like
fair enough.
I think everyone can recognize that game is quality, even if I thought that there was another one that does it better.
That place for the Mega Man,
you get to slide in.
Okay, can we take this moment to like give some due to Castlevania 3 since we haven't really talked about it at all?
Sure.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm just having
it just
on the list.
Just kind of goes without saying, yeah, Castlevania 3 is on this list, but
I would put it higher, in fact.
Yeah?
See, yeah. I'd... I'd put Castlevania 3 above River City Ransom.
I wouldn't really make a stink about that, really.
I would put them pretty neck to neck.
I'm not going
to
make a stink because I see no value
in
doing
so. Okay, I think Mega Man 2 is second.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say that, too. Does anyone strongly disagree with that?
No. No. That's, okay. Yeah. So...
Okay, so I'm sorry. Let's give some
love. I would
love.
Put
let's
River City Ransom third and Castlevania 3 fourth. I really wouldn't care.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't care at this point.
No, I'm happy with that order as well. All right, let's have an orgy of love for Castlevania 3.
All right.
A game so cool, I couldn't really play it because I couldn't emulate it.
Yeah, it is the blockbuster, highest-end graphics, highest-end sound, like... top of the technological line for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
From a point of production values, it gives no better than Castlevania 3.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Mm. And it felt it, too.
It's so like, badass, they had to take sound out for the American version.
To make room for more awesome.
Multiple playable characters in a Castlevania game.
And paths.
Multiple paths.
And multiple paths. Yeah.
For such an expansive game, like, you know, of all the games that were nominated, there is no game I would be like, that game's music was eh.
Right.
Like, every single game we picked has amazing music.
Funny how that ties in a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Castlevania 3 is fucking hard, but it's such a big, amazing game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. And all rewarding.
Right. You sound like you gotta go.
You gotta go.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
Preemptive abortion.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, a preemie.
Surprise!
Surprise! Yeah, no, that game kicks ass. I didn't really...
It's just pretty straightforward. It's just pretty freaking awesome.
I know. Well, I'm trying to think if I played 2. No, I must have tested it. But, like, 3 just felt like... because I played a lot of 1, actually, in, like, the arcade, the Play Choice.
Yeah.
Of all things. And it was just, like, such a natural, like, yeah, I felt like coming back to it and... it's like, yeah, they're back to this.
Yeah. After 2 was kind of, even though I love the weird non-linearity of 2.
Yeah, 2 is most in need of a reimagining. And I never played 3 at the time. And in fact, I've only owned the cartridge very briefly when I bought it at a secondhand shop along with a Famiclone system, only to discover to my horror that Famiclones cannot play Castlevania 3.
Right.
But I didn't realize that at the time. I thought the Castlevania 3 cart was busted, so I returned it.
Oh,
lame. Yeah, so I still do not actually own a copy of Castlevania 3. And I'd say I played the first one was the one that I owned, so it was the one that I played the most at the time. And if I'm choosing favorites, I like Rondo of Blood better than any of the NES Castlevanias.
Oh, sure, and, but sure. That's not a...
it's not up for discussion.
Yeah, and again,
I like
Symphony
of the Night better.
No, you know, again, it's that thing of
the
games that if we're doing the punch, it's again, the punch out argument. I think that there is another game in the series that does that thing better. But as far as NES games go, yeah, that game is tour de force.
Yeah.
On all fronts.
River City Ransom, we talked about a bit. Obviously, that has some pretty strong blood runs through this podcast for River City Ransom.
Sure.
Indeed. In particular, but. That game still amazes me, just that nobody has ripped the shit off of it. Whatever. Just like copied it. Fucking, you know.
No one has grabbed it by the butt cheeks and spread it over.
Just totally ripped off River City Ransom. That was immediately copied. Just the simplicity of the, you know, punch, kick, and then how you can mix that all up with the weapons.
How popular was it at the time? Was this one that caught on later?
Yeah, I think it's more of one that kind of caught on later. Is people were like, yeah,
well,
just NES word of mouth.
It was the first Kunio-kun game in America, right? And so I think it probably sold enough to prove to them that they should localize some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
but not the beat-em-ups, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right. Wah, wah.
Yeah, volleyball is great, too.
Again, I understand. But yeah, no, it is surprising that no one has really just gone all out and done a brawler RPG, you know, to the degree that...
You know, the way that people are looking to ape, you know, indie developers are looking to ape, you know, old games in, you know, in special ways.
Yeah, hopefully. Come on, indie market. Yeah.
And the GBA port, unfortunately, you know, lacking the two-player mode, just doesn't quite cut it.
It's all right. It's got some really fun stuff to it.
Like, as an only child that mostly played things one player, I had no problem with that. But
like if I'm playing RCR solo, I go for the GBA version. Yeah, but
there's a lot of crazy stuff in that game, just the way you can recruit other gang members, the additional weapons.
Right,
like the double length chain that is cheap as fucking hell. hard. You got to kind of grind in that game a lot more to get your money. It's great. Lots of new moves. Lots of fun stuff in that one. Mega Man 2 we talked about a lot. And Mario 3 is a piece of shit.
Yeah, what a jerk.
I love
the wizard.
I kind of looked at some other lists as I was preparing for this.
I caught a couple, just to
see if there was anything I was missing. And like Mario 3 was number one on all of them. It's like so obviously the best game on NES.
Yeah, universal.
Yeah, I prefer the All-Stars version on Super NES.
I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't actually.
I don't like the graphical changes they made.
Yeah,
I like the. Just seems cleaner, nicer. On the regular NES graphics.
I like the more intense colors on the Super NES. The washed out pastels of the NES don't feel very vibrant to me. But
yeah, I think this one's just down to taste, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about Mario 3 is that game is from 1989?
Yeah.
In Japan. Which, you know, it's not even strictly speaking a late era NES game.
Right.
But it may have been the first to use the MMC3 chip, which is the chip that sort of ushered in all those late era NES games that could do, you know, scrolling in multiple directions at the same time, you know, like diagonal scrolling and multi-page big, you know, tiered levels where you could go up and down and all around. And, you know, that really sort of opened the floodgates and, you know, for everything that came after it.
It, like, you know, in an era where the basic hop and bop platformer was, you know, that was the first person shooter of the NES era. this game completely pantsed everything else out there, just embarrassed them so bad with its scope of levels and abilities and enemies. It was just so far ahead of everything else at the time. Like, you know, Mario World isn't that huge of a step over Mario 3. I like that step. It's cushy.
Sure. Yeah.
I like that step more. But compared to its contemporaries on the system, it's just like, what the fucking holy shit.
Yeah. And compared to Mario World, Mario 3 has a much more varied visual aesthetic to it. The weird, the checkerboard floors and the music note blocks and just like throwing shit against the wall. And so that it was still early enough in the series that they really had not codified what should and should not be in a Mario game.
Yeah, and it was really like the first step of like getting music into the gameplay too.
Yeah,
which I was such a big between that and Zelda, really. But.
And taking a lot of what were, you know, everything that had come in platformers up to that point, the hop and bop platformers, that was the first one where you could actually grab and hold on to a shell and then throw it back and aim it. You could throw it up and hit blocks above you. The mere fact that you could fly, that you could traverse the world.
Was a big deal.
Yeah, flying was
a big deal. Even sliding down slopes was a big deal as well.
Was huge, though. Oh, my God. And all the sub items, like having the P-Wing where you can just fly infinitely, just skip levels, just...
It really felt like you were breaking the game.
Yeah. Having an item inventory, having that just that degree of persistence. I mean, that's one of the big reasons I think the All-Stars version is superior just by virtue of having a battery save.
I
know that point is moot with emulators now, but...
Yeah. It's moot. Totally moot. Yeah.
In a game that... In the first Mario game that really featured that level of persistence, that you have an item inventory, that, you know, it's not... It was the first Mario that you really didn't necessarily want to try to plow through it in one sitting. That's the only thing I wish the NES version had. And which again is a this was a weird thought, you know, that in coming up with these games and as we've talked about them, trying to narrow them down, I think all of us have different opinions about the merit of NES games that had grand ambition versus the NES games that had more limited ambition, but perhaps you know made good on the promises better,
right? And the difference between focused audience and mass appeal as
fascinating discussion, Jess.
No, that was good.
Yeah, this was good.
Yeah.
See, it wasn't that hard.
Nah, it wasn't that long either.
No.
Under 2 hours.
Doing a top five, I figured would be much easier.
Mm-hmm.
With fewer things to argue about.
Yeah.
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 But if all folks enjoyed this, actually, even if you didn't enjoy it, we'll probably do it again in the future. Because
fuck you. Apparently.
Yeah, because fuck you, apparently. Unless you really, really, really hated it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty of systems out there in the world to argue things over. That was the idea. Was to inspire more arguments and hurt feelings.
Yeah.
More butt-hurtedness.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think
any of us. There's no just, you know, simple détente here. It's like, no, concessions must be made.
Dig.
I mean, obviously, our Super NES lists would probably be more... might be more homogenous, certainly.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd have to do a top 10 for Super Nintendo just to make it interesting.
Right?
None of us were Genesis kids at the time.
Not really.
Right? I think Genesis would be an interesting system to do because I think we all approached it from different places in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes in the future. Right. Obviously, like, you know, we all reach these systems at different times and play different games and,
yeah,
you know, might not have the full swath of them.
Yeah, and the later we go, the less nostalgia. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where this wild ride takes us. But thanks for listening, folks.
Yep.
Catch you later.
Yeah, y'all headed to preemie.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Off campus.
I'm going to get drunk and take a shit.
Now on DVD.
At the same time?
In the bathroom, Ben. Jesus.
Visit the online store at xstrikestudios.com.